discussion in the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch about how the halachos play out in terms of Bachum Choli. If a man is sick or a woman is sick and there's some kind of a physical medical need, one to take care of the other. So there are a few different factors that go into this mix. So one question is just how sick is the sick? Are we talking about cholish yesh b'sakana? Are we talking about cholish that's merely a cholish ein b'sakana? Are we talking about whether the man is one who's sick or the woman is one who's sick? Should that make a difference? And are we talking about different types of physical needs, different types of care? Some care may be a little bit more conducive to chet than others. Are we talking about there's nobody else available? There is somebody else available. So a lot of those four or so different factors converge together to try to figure out what the correct halach is. So the Shulchan Aruch, in the third of the Mamkos on page 19, the Shulchan Aruch, in the third of the Mamkos on page 19, here is one who's sick. The Eilam Misha Shabshan is Masa. There's nobody to take care of him. Uteras the Shabshan. She is permitted to deal with him. She's permitted to touch him. She's permitted to do almost whatever is necessary to take care of him. Rakshi Tizor Biyoser Shetuchalizor. She should try to be as careful as possible in doing those things that are normally real violations of her chafas. Whatever she can avoid doing in terms of literally bathing him, or in terms of preparing the water, in terms of setting up the bed, whatever is absolutely, you know, can be avoided, should try to be avoided. But again, she tries as best as she can. But the starting point of the Shulchan Aruch is that that's basically mutter. I mean, that since he's sick, so that should be permissible. Nevertheless, the Shonach in the next sif, and sif Tezayin turns around and says, what if it's the other way around? Isha chol avihinida. What if she is the one who's sick? So an asla bayna ligavok kabil shavshos. He's not allowed to touch her, not allowed to take care of her. Kagol akima lashkiva lusamcha. He would have to find somebody else. He would not be able to take care of her, would not be able to touch her. So what's the difference between the two cases in the Shulchan Aruch? So the Shulchan Aruch himself explains that the difference is very simple. Depends whether he's the one who's sick or she's the one who's sick. If we assume that he's going to have the one who's going to be more initiating possible Aveira, and therefore he's the one who's sick. He's sick in bed, he doesn't have any desire to do anything, so then we can be very, very naked. But if he's perfectly healthy, he's great, and she's the one who's not feeling well, so we're concerned that lest he can't control himself, he's going to convince her to be Chaltei, so there's much more of a concern. So that's why Shulchan Aruch splits in terms of our chafas, that we have to be more concerned when she's the one who's sick, rather than he's the one who's sick. Then the Ramah adds on at the end of Sif Tezai, and the Ramah is V'yesh Omer, but those who say, if there's nobody available to help her out, then he is also permitted to violate all the hachokas, that we don't have to be concerned. The Ramah, right, that's what our practice is, that's what our minig is, that if the woman has a big need for something, and she's sick, even though he's perfectly okay, we assume that he's going to be able to also control himself. And that's where we're noyeg today. How sick is sick? How ill is this? Are we talking about? We're talking about a chalash yesh b'sakana, so we spoke about this weeks ago, where the Beis Yosef quotes a possibility that luchos nida may fall into the category of gili arayos, and as such, it may fall into the category of yehargei yavar. And as the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, that Yehargei Yavar includes not just the chait itself, but all other things that smack of the chait. So maybe one could have argued that all these things mamash Yehargei Yavar. Means if there's really a concern here, then we have to be concerned even with Machom Bikuach Nefesh. So we don't assume like that. He says it didn't say it, Allah. He threw out that possibility. So the Shach writes that we don't accept that, Allah. The reason why we don't accept that is that even though it's true that Nida's Nisad Yerayis and Nisad Karayis, at least according to the Rambam, it's from the Gilei Arayis, and it could be Yehargei Yavar, and Yehargei Yavar everything. With all those pieces, the puzzle being connected, nevertheless, the Shach writes that when you're dealing with one of the parties being sick, so we assume that there's absolutely no Yerayis taking place here, because this is what's called the Negir Shalom and Derechiba. The only time that it was Nida's Yerayis, the only time we're touching it, hugging the kids, those things that they're raisa, that's when they're done derech ta'av, they're done derech chiba. When he's trying to turn her over in bed, he's trying to help her off to go to the bathroom, he's trying to give her some medicine, so we hope that all those things are shalom b'derech chiba. And whenever it's shalom b'derech chiba, so then technically speaking, that also in the Torah, the holus of deraisa, l'sikra, l'galas erba, the Rambam writes, preferish is only when it's derech chiba. Whenever it's shalom b'derech chiba, so then it's not also in the Torah either. So it's not us in the Torah, so is it us altogether? So that's what the Shach and Ramosh we spoke about in the past. differentiate between one's own wife and a stranger woman. If it's one's own wife, so strangely enough, if it's one's own wife, so even though min haTorah, it's okay to touch a mitzvah derechiba. The Gemara says in Shabbos that it's still also mitzvah derabbanan shalom. Another b'beis miktana. The Gemara says the feirish that you're not allowed to touch your wife, which is indeed the even shalom derechiba at all. That's only mitzvah derabbanan. That's not nisa min haTorah, and that nisa was only made by one's own wife because there's a concern that if you touch your wife, shalom derechiba, very soon it's going to become derechiba. If it's a stranger, so obviously you're not touching the stranger just casually. If for whatever reason you're bumping into somebody else's wife, you're bumping into a stranger on the train or something, so the Shach and the Moshe write, that's called Shalom Ederechiva, that's Motiv Lechachila. Is this not also Mederabon? That's what Rav Moshe writes, that's the famous Heter Moshe, you go on the subway. Yes, it might happen, you go on the subway. In rush hour, you're inevitably going to be pushed against somebody else. So Moshe writes, so on, it's Shalom Ederechiva, guys, that can't control himself. For him, that's Chiva, so it's take the bus, take the cab to work, you know, walk to work. But for a normal person stuck on the A train with 400 other people and getting pushed against somebody else, so that's called Shlova Derechiva, and that's Mota Ibn Lechatchila. And so with one's own wife, one would have to be more careful about that. So again, it's strange that sounds, but it's like, well, it makes a lot of sense that we're more with one's own wife than we are with a stranger.
So if you're a stranger, like in a business or social setting, and a woman sticks her hand out, is there any halakhic reason to explain to her that for religious reasons I don't
So then it depends. It depends whether you're concerned that that's called the rechiba or not. So there are some people who are concerned that is a shasha, the rechiba. So it's a handshake, it's a nice handshake. The person may feel a little bit of excited thoughts. So that would be potentially with the rechiba. Those who are machmer would insist on that. Those who said that if a person knows themselves, it's not such a rechiba, you know, for the context of who it is, what it is, where it is. Clearly not any derechibas, and then it's not even asa midrabanan. So then pasha ledvarmes, it would be a mutter. One could argue that even if there is some kind of nisa derabanan here, so then it would still maybe be mutter v'chukav nebriyas, the verses and brachas, that to avoid embarrassing somebody, there's a lot of oil that he's from derabanan, so you have to size up and see, is this really v'chukav nebriyas, is it really embarrassing, not embarrassing? In today's world, you could just say, you have to slow. Like the rest of the world, you can say, no shit kids, just give a cough. Sometimes if I see one of these, one should try to avoid these situations if possible. If push comes to shove, if you're really stuck, you know, there's someone here, it's up to him, it's going to be embarrassing. Okay, so then one is meekred, then you're going to many, a lot of be meekil. Nachocha, in a barosha, you can try to avoid these kinds of situations. Sometimes I see a situation like this happening, and if it's in the winter times, so we'll have the clothes on. Depends where you are. If you're upstairs in the boardroom already with your gloves on, you look a little bit funny. But if you see it happening outside, so don't take your gloves off. So that's the Chacham in Barosha. But when Me'ikir Adin, since it's the Rabbanan or not even the Rabbanan, so then it's probably going to be Mutter in these circumstances. So getting back to the story, so the Shulchan Aruch is Machmir and is Mekel. That you're allowed to take care of your wife when or she can take care of you when you're the one who's sick, because there's much less of a concern, but not vice versa. And the Ramos make a legamre, you can take care even of her, again, im tzrichah v'lekach. And the Ramah and the Shach hold, there's no need that she reached the point of chalashi yesh b'sakona, even if she stopped chalashi yesh b'sakona. That would also would be permissible. And Chazal lifted this as a Ramon, b'chom chayli. That's what we spoke about in the past. We spoke about the Rechach of handing the baby. So he said, Rabbi Willi wanted to extrapolate from here that you can hand the baby when the wife is in Eden. Many of the Poskim say that you're not allowed to. So he thought that it was mutter because of Machom Chol. The same way that the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah write, the Chazal lifted to some degree the Hachokas from Machom Chol. What's the difference whether the husband's a Chol, the wife's a Chol, the baby's a Chol? When you hand the baby over, you toss the baby over, instead of leave it on the car and it falls onto the floor, Chalilus, that's also considered to be a Chashash from Machom Chol. I would agree to that. That was his inside base on this figure. So then the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah continue in Sefer Zayin. Now talking about not just taking care of one's wife in terms of regular needs, but what about being her doctor? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Sefer Zayin, in Baila Rofe, also the Mashash Ladefek, that if the husband is a doctor, so he's not permitted to touch and to feel the area of defek. Defek literally means like the going up and down. Again, I don't know enough about medical history exactly what the Shulchan Aruch was measuring exactly in the 1500s. Were they feeling breathing? Were they feeling heartbeat? I'm not sure exactly what the pulse. I'm not sure what was the actual pulse. Were they really whole? Did they? And when did William Harvey? When did he come up with his whole pulse and the notion? That was a little bit later, no? 1600 something, right? So out of the Shemarot and the 50, I don't know what they did or didn't do in terms of understanding, you know, feeling the pulse here, or that means something, or whether they were just putting their hands on the heart, it was just listening to the chest, watching the chest, I'm not sure, I don't know. But whatever it was, Shemarot says you can't do it. the bottom line is that you can't do it. So the Rabbah, and this makes sense, the Shemarot, she does so, because the Shemarot just told us, that when he's healthy and she's the one who's sick, we're much more concerned. But now we should expect that the Ramah should turn around and be making on this, because the Ramah said that even if she's the one who's sick, we still are okay. So the Ramah writes, "L'fimash kesaf, didrog in hetem tzricha elav d'mishamish shalom." Just as the Ramah says in the last sif that I told you, you can help me get out of bed, you can eat the medicine, whatever's necessary. So for sure you're allowed to listen to the pulse, listen to the breathing, or touch the chest, whatever is necessary for medical reasons. So the Ramah sounds like everything is great, but then the Ramah puts the brakes on it. Im ein rofe acher utzvicha elav, assuming there's no other doctor around, the other doctor take care of her. V'yesh sakar b'chol yom, and there's pikuach nefesh here. Wait a second, pikuach nefesh. He didn't say pikuach nefesh before. When he came to handing her medicine, he just says she's miserable. She needs a tutal, or she can't get out of bed. She needs something to hand her a cup of water. So the Ramah said in Sifta Zayin, that's okay. Moshe said that as long as the tzricha harbel kach, Ramah didn't put on the condition of sakana b'cholya. It's only over here in Sifri Tzayin where Ramah is almost a throwback to Shulchan Aruch. He says it's got to be pekuach nefesh, got to be chashash and pekuach nefesh. So basically, the Pesukim point out that it's almost gradations of this depending on what exactly he's doing. You know, yesh v'yesh in Sif Tzayin, he's handing her a cup of water. To hand her a cup of water, that's not the most romantic oriented activity, and therefore worse than this is that the Rabbanon and we make. Marachok is only the Rabbanon, and it's Mokum Chayla, and finished only to worry about. In Sif Yudayin, she's basically undressed. He's undressing her. He's listening with either a stethoscope or his hands. He's touching places that could potentially become lead to chait. So that's a whole different ballgame. So for the mamish to be a doctor and to take care of her when she's undressed, so that's much more problematic. So then there are if it's because nefesh, it's okay. We don't have to be chayishish. That's far the basis. That's your harbor. Yeah, but that far we don't go. Just down to make it out right, that would be problematic. So basically, that's how we're pretty much knowing this man has that. That's how we practice this man has that. Again, if he's the one who's sick, so then if it's necessary, she's allowed to take care of him, even though it involves a little bit of touching, she should try to be as careful as possible. If she's the one who's sick, so even though it involves a little bit of touching, a little bit of handing, a little bit of things that would otherwise be a problem, so that's also mikvah then okay, if there's nobody realistic available to help them out. If it's more than just touching and handing medicine and helping a little bit out of bed, more than those kinds of things, so then if it means literally acting as a doctor, so then we should try to find another doctor. If you're able to find another doctor, find another doctor. If it's not practical to find another doctor, and it's there is some real potential to go with nefesh concerns, and then obviously we're going to be, the Ramah is going to make on that. If it's not such a good nefesh, so we should really, really try hard to find somebody else to take care of if it involves those kinds of care that could potentially become leading to chet. So that's pretty much what the Gedoras are in terms of taking care of either the husband or the wife when one of the two is considered to be a chol, the yesh b'skaray. Okay, so we're now beginning to a brand new sugya. It's one of the most difficult sugyas in the Sneda. We're not going to talk about every single detail of this. It will take us another 6 months. That's the sugyas of Avestas. Basically, what Avestas means is how to anticipate when the woman is going to become a Nida. Up until now, we've been talking about she is a Nida already. Now, what do you do? Now, she's a terrorist. But we strongly suspect, that she's going to become a Nida very, very soon. It's very, very close to what her approximate anticipated period of time is. And now the halacha kicks in. There are a whole series of different halachas that govern the woman who's not quite at the state of becoming an Ida, but very, very soon is most probably going to become that. That's what's called the chuzvestas. It's a very, very complicated area of halacha. 90% of it is not lemais in the sense of you have all kind of calculations, strange calculations. Last month this happened, 2 months ago that happened, 3 months ago this happened. A lot of stuff that you can start to swim in the details and calculations of Hilchos Vestas. We're going to, I think there's a chart, it's called Vestas Made Easy. We're going to try to do that. We're going to try to discuss the Lomdus of Vestas. There's a lot of heavy-duty Lomdus of Vestas, that's true. We'll try to get a little bit of a background to that today, just in terms of the ABCs of Lomdus and Vestas, and then try to explore what the real live Vestas of Bisman is at, how it really plays out, not what's happened in the last 6 months in terms of, say, having a period standing on a head on every fifth Tuesday. We'll leave out all those details. We'll try to get to the stuff that really takes place at Bisman is at, and then we'll try to spend a significant amount at the end about how Hilchus Vestas has been greatly affected by medication. In the olden days, no such thing as birth control pills. Now many women are on different types of pills and IUDs and all kinds of different devices, all kinds of different medications that plays games with their natural cycle. So Hilchus Vestas has to respond properly, to figure out how does all of Hilchus Vestas play out when you have all these artificial things that are being thrown into the mix. So that'll be pretty much what we're going to try to accomplish over the next couple of weeks or so. The background Lomdus system, what the ABCs are in terms of background, then in terms of Lamaisa, what Hilchus Vestas really, really means for a woman, Bisman Hazeh, and then, assuming that she's at some point in her life on some kind of these artificial things, always assuming that she had to be on those kinds of things, but assuming that she is, so then how is it going to play out Lamaisa? We have our work cut out for us about Hilchus Vestas. I didn't say it's going to be easy, but we'll try not to make it that it's too overwhelming. So the sugya begins on the 20th of the Nisan Kamos. It seems to be a very, very innocent question. You must start to add a needed of Tezayin and Halach. Bom name of Nachman, Vestas the Araisa or the Rabbanim. Is that a topic the Araisa or a topic the Rabbanim? We don't even know what the topic is yet. We have to first just translate the words. So the word Vestas, or Vest, depending on where in Europe it came from, in terms of pronouncing it. So Vestas, or the plural of Vestas, the word Vestas refers to basically to a cycle, to an anticipated cycle when the woman suspects that she's going to get her period. How in the world does she have Ruach HaKodesh to know? So that's a lot of things we're going to talk about. What factors, go into making that educated guess? Whether we say past, what do they tell you? Past performance is not an indication of future
results.
For future results. So Hilchus Nida, that's not a true statement. Hilchus Nida, past performance is to some degree an important predictor. So this halacha, in general terms of Vestas, what is the source of this entire thing? Maybe one can argue everything we're going to talk about now is only with the Rabbanah, Minat Torah. She's not an idiot. It's a Minat Torah. What could possibly go wrong? Minat Torah, she's not an idiot. So forget it. The whole thing is with the Rabbanah, which would make us try to figure out why we have this thing in the Rabbanah in the first place. Or maybe no. Maybe there is some degree of deraisa here. And again, what that means, deraisa, what the source of deraisa is, again, still going to be subject for our discussion. So the Shaila was presented originally to Rav Nachman, his Talmidim, asked him, Avestas deraisa or Vestas de Rabbana. So the context of this sugya, the context of the sugya is playing out in terms of follows. There is a halacha that once a woman reaches the point of Avestas, reaches the point of anticipated period date. Again, that may be based on what last month was, maybe it's based on what 2 months ago was. We don't know, we're not going to plug in those details until later on to the sugya. But once she reaches that red mark on the calendar, that this is an anticipated period date, what's called the Giyashas of SS, so the halacha tells us that she has to check herself to make sure that she in fact did not get her period. It's called the Bedika B'Shas of SS. So that's a Gemara, that there is such a requirement of a Bedika B'Shas of SS. So the way the Rishon explained on Tanita Tezayim Aleph, that's exactly what the Talmidim were asking Rav Nachman. That requirement of Bedika B'Shas of SS, where in the world did that come from? Is that, doesn't say it on Chumash? That is in the Raisa, some kind of a Mocha Minat Torah for that new requirement called the Bedika B'Shas of SS. That means Minat Torah, you have to really be concerned that the period's really coming. It's really, really a good chance the period's coming. We have to react to that, and we have to be concerned with that. We have to take precautions for that. Therefore, the Allah insists on Bedika, and that's a real reaction in HaTorah. But the way I say, Mapito, that concept, Bedika, but then the rice is, when you're in Eidah, Bedika is afterwards, the Shivan Kiyam, a lot of time. But Bedika, Meshachadesis, I never heard of such a thing. So that's the suffix. That's how the Rishonim explained basically. That's what the Talmidim wanted to know from Nachman. When they said Vestas deraisa derabbanan, that was a code phrase for saying, is the Chovas Bedika deraisa or derabbanan? So Gemara goes back and forth and back and forth trying to bring Urias, and finally, it appears that the maskanas of Gemara is that Vestas are in fact on a Midrabat. That's the simple conclusion of the Gemara. And in fact, Vestas are not Minotaur, they're on a Midrabat. What in the world would have been the source that Vestas are their Isa? Why would I have even thought that it's their Isa? So Rashi on the spot throws his hands up. Rashi says, we don't have a pasuk. It's anywhere. Hopefully in the Chumash, you have to bedik b'shas the Vestas. Rashi says, al tzadar was their Isa. It must have been Allah Chumash B'sinim. Rashi's guessing, saying, we don't have a pasuk. We don't have a machmor of a drasha. It must be that Chazal thought that there was some kind of a pre-existing tradition Allah Chumash B'sinim. Means they knew that everyone's doing Vestas. This is an example, a very common example. You know what the practice of halacha is. Women have been doing bedikas during Shasa Vestas from last we can remember. Hundreds and thousands of years, women have always done bedikas with Shasa Vestas. And now we're sitting back 1,500 years later. The Talmid Rav Nachman back and saying, where did this come from? Where did this start from? Why are we doing this for? Are we doing this because it's mamish mandated by the Chumash itself? Even though it's not a pasuk, it must be there was a tradition. It must be there was a tradition. Ish b'priyish ad Moshe Rabbeinu, because we're looking around, all women are doing the same thing. The Mishnah talks about it. The Brayta talks about it. Everybody, all the wives, all the kalachlesses know women do bedikas b'shas ha'vases. It must be that it has its roots in the Torah. It must be some kind of a halach moshe m'sadeh. And on the other side, the Talmidim thought, no, up it up. There must be some base then between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and the days of the Tanai made up this Tekanu. Well, I don't know. Tavon of Shama Melech. I don't know. Yeshua ben Moshe, I don't know who made up this. Somebody made up this Din Derabban. So you have this orphan where you have like a Din that everybody knows. Din X is knowing. Everybody knows we practice this Din. And now we're turning around hundreds of years later and scratching it. Where'd it come from? But that's what Taisus points out in Masechet Avodah Zarah. But now Bishalachim, we're just speaking about this on Friday night. The Gemara asks the question in the Masechet Avodah Zarah, Bishalachim and Anamili. Where's it come from? What's the source? So Gemara quotes a pasuk, but says, nah, the pasuk doesn't mean it. Not a pasuk. So Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that everybody knew that Bishalachim was also. The Mishnah talks about Bishalachim. This was like Yadua before some. They can't just stop going cooking for you. So the Amoraim knew the din existed. The Mishnah speaks about it. The Raisa speaks about it. The five lot in the Gemara about it. Everybody knows that this is common Jewish practice to quote Bishalachim. And now the Amoraim is sitting around in Babylon trying to figure, you know what? Is this a din min haTorah? We missed the makom. Where was the source for this? So the Amoraim thought it must be a din min haTorah. And they were looking and looking. And then they couldn't find a pasuk. And then they realized, you know what? Let's go back to the drawing board. Wait, we misunderstood. It's not a din min haTorah. It must be it's a din min haRabbanan. That some days then, between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and the days of the Tanai, made this takana, made this gezer called Bishalachim, and then the Rishon Rav Machlok, the takana, why they make it. So that's what we spoke about Friday night, Rashi, this, that, etc., all the details. So you have this, many, many places you have this, that the Gemara knows there's a certain din that exists, and we scratch our head to try to figure out, is it their eyes, is it their Rabban? So that's what the Gemara is doing here also. We know women are doing bedikas b'shas ha'vases, can't figure out their eyes at the Rabbanan, and finally, when all the dust settles, it appears that it's not only with the Rabbanan. There was no mysterious phantom lost halach moshe m'sinai. It was tach adin with the Rabbanan. Who made the takanas of Chama? I have no idea. The Rambam writes in his Adam Tepesh Mishnayis, the Chazal very rarely tell us which base they made any given the Rabbanan. Once in a while, the Gemara says, Tavon HaMelech made this, and Tavon HaMelech made that, and Yeshuvan made this, and Ezra made that, you know. 20-30 cases, the Gemara will single out historically which Beis Din, which chronological Beis Din made a particular Takana de Rabbanan, and 90% of the time the Gemara doesn't even bother doing that. Why doesn't the Gemara do that? It's not necessary, it's not relevant. It's historically interesting, but it's not halachically relevant, because the Rambam writes that in terms of tokif, in terms of strength of halacha, so whatever a Beis Din of Yeshua ben Nun institutes and the Beis Din of Rav Ashi institute are identical footing. There's no difference in halacha between the Beis Din of Pinchas and Yeshua and Ezra and Mordechai and the Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Anosi and Rav Ashi and Rava. That doesn't matter. Anyone who has the status of a Beis Din HaGadol has the same tokif. So Beis Din HaGadol is either the Sanhedrin sitting mamish in Yerushalayim, the Yishtha Gargosis, that's one type of Beis Din HaGadol. Then you have the other Beis Din HaGadol, that's of Kol Yisrael. Whenever you have a Psach that's emanating from the entire body of Torah leadership, that's like a Beis Din HaGadol. So all the Chach, the Psach, the Chach Megemara, are all Beis Din HaGadol speaking, because it's Klal Yisrael all voted, and the whole Jewish, all the Mircham, for the most part, lived in Babel at that time. So that was the universe. universal voice of the Chachmei Torah in that generation. So that takes on the status of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Rambam said, doesn't matter. My nafkamina, you have to follow what Yeshua Nun said, you have to follow what Rabbi Akiva said, you have to follow what Rav Ashi said, it's all the same. So therefore the Chazal don't bother telling us. Sometimes it's interesting, sometimes it comes, sometimes it's important to know. If I know one Beis and said and one Beis and disagree, sometimes it's interesting to know who made the Tekonas. But in terms of real significance in Allah, I'm very, very low. So to over here, this Din D'Rabbanan of Estes, we've ascertained, was not the Arise. That the Gemara concludes, it's not the Arise. It's only the D'Rabbanan. When it was made, I don't know. We know by the days of the Mishnayos it was around already. We know the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't around. So sometime from Moshe Rabbeinu until, that's a pretty big span, from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rabbi Danasi, that's 1600 years. So somewhere along the way, this Din of doing a B'dik Mishas of Estes was instituted. Nevertheless, the Rishonim were very, very concerned because there is a Gemara that appears both in Maseches Nida and Maseches Shavuos, and the second of the Mamakamos, which seems to contradict everything we just said. We just said that the Maskanos of Gemara is that Vestas and not Min HaTorah. The Gemara says in Nida and Magilam Beis, commenting in the Pasuk in Parshas Mitzorah, he's Artemis B'nei Somi to Masam. Torah says that you have to tell Klal Yisrael to be very, very careful about Hilchos Tumah. So this pasuk is the very end of Mitzorah. In the last couple of Pesukim in Mitzorah, speaking about Tumas Nida, and Tumas Ziva, it talks about how, first it talks about Pashas Tazir Mitzorah, talk about all of what we call Tumas Yotzel of Migufo. Tumah is divided into two categories. There's Tumas Maga, Tumah when I touch a dead body, I touch a dead animal, sheretz, etc. Then there's tumor that doesn't come externally, comes internally, emanates from my body, Yotzalami Gufo. So let's say Mitzora is a tumor Yotzalami Gufo, a woman giving birth, eat of Zava. Those are Zav, those are examples of tumor Yotzalami Gufo. So at the very end of that parasha of Mitzora, the Torah in one fell swoop says, Vizartem is b'nei somi tumasam. Everyone should be very, very careful about the rules of tumor. It sounds a little bit superfluous, you should be careful about tumor. The Torah already told us all the details. What does Vizartem mean? So Amikan Amar Yirmiya, Azhar Levin Israel, Sheyipeshum Mishnah Sen, Samach Levestan. From here we derive that a person has to be careful, male, Jew, B'nai Israel have to be careful to separate from their wives close to the time that they're going to get their period. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that you can't be with your wife when she's a surah, those are nisakaris. So the added dimension of Yizaritim is B'nai Israel is telling me that you have to be really, really careful. Don't end up in a situation where she gets a period while you're in the middle of being together. That would be a very, very difficult halachic situation. So to avoid any of those complications, Mikan, Sheyifish was saying something for Desta. So here, the Gemara is quoting a Pasuk. The Gemara is quoting a Pasuk. It's taking into consideration Samuch Levesta. That means the Torah is addressing the principle of Samuch Levesta. The Torah is saying certain things that you're not allowed to do. Samuch Levesta. So wait a second. Samuch Levesta, I just got finished saying that Vesta says Onu B'Drabban. I never heard of such a thing in the Torah.
But anyway, isn't neither does Manu Zen not to move the Tahara?
Very good. Excellent. Okay, good, excellent. So the answer is, you're right, but the Precious Samuch Levesta is also not to move the Tahara. The Precious Samuch Levesta is a Cheshash and a Sedeheter. Because if a person doesn't observe this, not only will they become Tomei, but they'll inadvertently violate an Isser Kuris as well.
This is a biblical Geder?
That's what, I don't know if I choose the word Geder, possibly, but that's what it sounds like. It sounds like it's some kind of a Din Derei
Seir. Like low Sikrubu by Eretz,
right. So what are we so concerned with? What's the big tragedy? What is going to go wrong? That if the woman is Muteris right now, so what's going to be so terrible if he goes and he's with her, and even if she'll start to bleed in the middle of time? So what? What's the big deal? So comes the Gemara, the third of the Ram Kamos, the famous Gemara Masechet Shavuos. The Gemara says that Hayim Mishamish Imat Tahara. Whatever person is having relations with a woman, she's Tahara, she's Muteris right now. For Amalonit to Mesi. And now in the middle of Tashpish, she says, oh, I feel like I'm bleeding. Upirish Miat. And he right away pulls out from her, Chayev. He's Chayev Karis. False shogi, whatever, he's chaping a carbon, because the Beishit Ziyaso, and now look at the Yaso, that's considered to be a Maisabia. The fact that he comes out of a woman when she's a Nida, that's considered the same as going into a woman when she's a Nida. So that's a disaster. So we're going to try to do whatever we can to avoid that. It can happen with all the precautions, all the care in the world. It's still once that a blue moon could happen, but we have to do whatever we can to bend over backwards to avoid that from happening. the Gemara says that what would the proper protocol be if that really happens? And let's say a couple's having tashrish, and all of a sudden in the middle she says, oh, I feel something's happening. So the Gemara says that the worst thing to do is to be pirish miyad. Usually, you know, intuitively a person would think, oh, yeah, she just became a needle, let me get out right away. So the Gemara says, no, you're not allowed to do that. You have to wait until the kisha eva goes down. Because kol zman, your eva is in the state of being kosher, so that's called the maaseh biyah. And pirish miyad is chayev, because it's yaso and olah kaviyaso. What you have to do is, you have to stop and just wait until the Eivor dies down. And when the Eivor dies down, then and only then he's supposed to separate. So again, the last thing we want, such a crazy shout out. We don't want people to have to deal with these kinds of things. It's a terrible, terrible, very distressing situations, and they're very halakhically complicated situations. So therefore, one fell swoop, I understand what the Gemara says. We kind of her eliminates. So the way to avoid this is not to be together when she's expecting for it in the first place. Nobody has ruach hakodesh. Sometimes we can mess up, but if you're careful about the din of preaching someone with us, it's unlikely this is ever going to happen. So here it sounds like that this is a real din deraisa. The Gemara is quoting a pasuk, mikan hazara, mizartem. It's a din deraisa, siyam, something like that. So how does that fit into this? What we said before. We said before that the institution of Estos is only mid the Rabbanon. How can you have a cake and eat it? How can you say Vestas is on the Rabbanon and then turn around and say that there's some kind of an Issa Deraisa or Mikadas Harla B'nai Yisrael? So there are different opinions to answer this problem. So there were some Rishonim, probably most of the Rishonim say, the question is better than the answer, that in Achinami, that Min HaTorah is Takan Ovisa. We just got finished saying Vestas at the Rabbanon. We said some kind of a base, an institute, we don't know which one, somewhere along the way the institute has been finished. Vestas are only mitirabanan. The whole thing doesn't exist in the Torah. I think more puts a posuk. This is not the first, not the last posuk. That's a resmachta. It's a hint. It's an illusion. It's a dindirabanan. It's not a real dindiraisa. Does it say in the chumash? The shivshu should say it's a protestant. What does the dindiraisa mean? These are it means be careful about tuvatara. Be extra careful. Be extra cautious. Don't want the mishkan in your tummy. It means like Eyud said. It means tuvatara. It doesn't nothing to do with ruchos nida v'zman hazeh. The entire din of Prisha Samach Levestas, with Vedika Samach Levestas, the whole concept, the whole halakhic concept of Samach Levestas, Hakalika goes on with the Rabban. That's what the Raivid says. That's what the Shach quotes from the Rash, quotes from the Raivid, who says that in the Chinami, that we, with the Donu Paskid, Levestas, and on with the Rabbanon, we Paskid that this Gemara is not a real din derai. So notwithstanding the Paskid we was quoting, it's only with the Rabban. However, notwithstanding what the Raivid and the Rash and the Shach say, there are many, many Acharonim who say no. That when we say that Vestas and the Rabbanon, you could still at the same time say Vestas and the Rabbanon, Vestas and the Raisa. Why? We're talking about different halachas of Vestas. What we were talking about with the Gemara and after Zion and Ida was talking about was the requirement of a Bedika, Vishas and Vestas. So the Chobas of Bedika, Vishas and Vestas, that in fact is on the Midr Rabbanon. Here we're talking about a different thing we're talking about a different aspect. We're talking about a Heta Tashmish. It's not the same Shaila. That just because Vestas and the Rabbanon vis-a-vis Chavis Bedika doesn't mean that they're Rabbanon vis-a-vis the Isser of Tashmish. So we can walk a fine line between the two. The only problem is you have to explain that. What sense does that make? Do you think she's getting a period or not? If you really believe on a level of their eyes that she's getting a period, you can't be with her and she better check herself. If you don't really believe this Minat Torah, so then why can't you be with her? If you're not checking, why can't you be with her? Why should there be a conceptual difference? So that's really going to set the stage, hopefully for next week's year, to try to understand and love this conceptually, this middle ground. So if you hold that all Vestas are their eyes, everything's their eyes, that's easy to explain. If you hold all Vestas and their bottom, it's also easy to explain. We said many times, the extreme views in halacha and life are very easy to explain. When you start to have aspects and combinations of both, that's when the issues begin. So this sheet that we're walking down the tightrope, the Vestas are their eyes vis-a-vis the Isser Tashmish, but their bottom vis-a-vis the Chavis Bedika, that needs a lot of work. Hopefully, next week we'll try to work out the Gedolei Chavarim solutions to that. Wow.